The U.S. government was nonetheless unaware of the looming subprime mortgage crisis, allowing the banks to take on excessive leverage and permitting the emergence of a huge shadow banking system built around derivatives that were far too complex to properly value. Some commentators have tried to blame the crisis exclusively on government-guaranteed mortgages from agencies like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which did in fact contribute to the meltdown. But the private sector was a happy participant, feeding the mortgage frenzy, and could take undue risks because large banks knew that they would ultimately get bailed out by the government if they got into trouble. This is exactly the scenario that occurred in the wake of the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy in September 2008, leading to a near collapse of the global payment system and the deepest U.S. recession since the Great Depression. What is perhaps more shocking, however, is what has happened since the crisis. Despite widespread recognition of the enormous risk posed by too-big-to-fail banks, the American banking sector became even more concentrated than it was in 2008. In the years following the crisis, Congress passed the Dodd-Frank Act that was supposed to solve this problem. But the legislation ignored simpler remedies, such as sharply raising bank capital requirements or putting hard caps on the size of financial institutions, in favor of a highly complex stew of new regulations. 3 years after passage of the legislation, many of those detailed rules had not yet been written and would likely not solve the underlying too-big-to-fail problem, even if they were. There are two fundamental reasons for this failure. The first has to do with intellectual rigidity. The banks, in their own self-interest, have argued that strong new regulations of their activities would cut into their ability to lend, and therefore undermine economic growth, while producing harmful unintended consequences. Such arguments are often quite valid when applied to non-financial institutions like manufacturing industries, and appeal to many conservative voters who are distrustful of big government. But, as the scholars Anand Admati and Martin Helvig, among others, have shown, large banks are very different from non-financial firms due to their ability to harm the rest of the economy in ways not possible for a manufacturing company. The second reason for the failure is that the banks are very rich and powerful, and can hire a legion of high-priced lobbyists to work on their behalf. Despite enormous public anger against the banking sector and the taxpayer bailouts, these lobbyists have succeeded in blocking meaningful regulation that would have gone directly to the heart of the too-big-to-fail problem. Some legislators may have found the bankers' arguments against new regulation persuasive based on their ideological beliefs. For others, the arguments were a useful cover to protect the stream of campaign contributions flowing from the banking sector. A third scenario links the Arab Spring to the protests that broke out in Turkey and Brazil in 2013. These two countries were leading emerging market economies, which had seen rapid economic growth during the preceding decade. Unlike the Arab dictatorships, both were democracies with competitive elections. Turkey had been ruled by the Islamist Justice and Development Party, AKP in its Turkish initials, whose leader, Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan, had initially made his mark as mayor of Istanbul. Brazil, for its part, had elected a president, Dilma Rousseff, who hailed from a socialist party and had been jailed in her youth by the military dictatorship that ruled the country from 1964 to 1985. Despite these impressive economic and political accomplishments, both countries were briefly convulsed with mass protests against their governments. In Turkey, the issue was a park in Istanbul that the government wanted to make over as a shopping mall. Many of the young protesters felt that Erdogan, despite his democratic mandate, had authoritarian inclinations and was seriously out of touch with the younger generation of Turks. In Brazil, the issue was corruption and a failure of the government to provide reliable basic services.